All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Well, greetings to everyone listening to me. Thank you for tuning in to the American Vindicta Show. Thank you for watching this on Rumble and YouTube. Thanks for listening on GSRadio.net and all the other various little platforms that this show is still on currently. Big shout out to everyone out there who has been praying for my father still. I'm still getting some emails and some people saying that they're still lifting my poor father up in prayer. So praise be to God for his people, for his everlasting joy and mercy. And may the mercy and joy of our Lord be with you on this day. There's a few pieces of this news cycle that I'd like to get through. Starting with something I think everybody would love to listen to. Tell me what you think about this statement.
Nature that we're talking about, and they will be dying, God forbid, because it's a horrible thing.
President Zelensky of Ukraine wants your son and daughter to go and fight and die in Ukraine. How many of you agree with that? Do you think at this point in time that we should really be getting into a war in Ukraine against Russia and their allies? For one thing, Zelensky can go and pound sand. I think it's very funny that we've given this guy $110 billion, and yet he can't fight a war with it. We're giving him all different types of assets militarily. He can't fight a war with it, and he can't win it. They did their own little barbaric form of a draft in Ukraine. On the Doug and Dave Intel report, shout out to Dave Hodges, Doug and Dave Intel report. I had shown where they were going door to door and kidnapping men and force conscripting them into a military that they didn't want to be a part of. How close are we to war with Russia? Just how close are we? I think still, as I've been saying this whole time, I've been saying this, I believe, since probably last summer, that by this summer, we will probably officially be in war with Russia. And by stating that, I believe that the Congress will actually end up declaring war against Russia. Now, in my mind, there has to be something more significant than just the takedown of Ukraine. What could it be? Could it be a cyber attack? Could it be a international open waters attack against one of our vessels? Could it be an attack upon one of our military bases or a NATO member ally? Most likely NATO member ally, because eventually with the way Ukraine's going, it sounds like Poland is going to end up joining this fight one way or the other. And I don't blame Poland for doing it. I don't blame Zelensky for wanting to have more troops brought in, because the guy probably doesn't want to die. And I'm fairly certain that Putin is probably done with all this and is probably going to try and kill this man. Oh, by the way, Putin has officially put the kaputs to the UN, or excuse me, the US treaty with nuclear forces. So Russia no longer has a treaty with the United States for using nuclear weapons, I guess. That's how close we are. We are so close, man. Here, let's read this article from InfoWars, see if they have anything else in here to say. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky warned the U.S. that if Ukraine loses, then America will have to send their sons and daughters to war with Russia over the Baltic states, and they will have to fight, and they will be dying. Right now, our military is not in the shape to go and fight anybody. I got a few articles we're going to read about that. But from what I've seen so far, if we had to go into a war, this is speculation on my part. I'm maybe a little bit wrong, and I may stretch part of this rubber band that is our contingency factor in America. But if we are too demoralized, then we will end up having to have a draft. Most likely, what would happen is active duty units would go to Ukraine, fight, hopefully win. Hopefully win. You would think that we are a more advanced military, better weaponry, better training. We have the most, I would say, combat experience out of any other First Nation country in the world. So we should have a leg up on Russia, but Ukraine is already a battleground where the Russians have been doing pretty good. Here and there, they get their ass kicked, but for the most part, they're still there and they're still controlling the tempo. And everything that you hear from this little bastard, Zelensky, is a lie. I mean, it's a lie. I believe they're warming up to the eventuality of a draft. We'll send our conventional forces over there to Ukraine, and then when that's depleted or at risk here in the homeland, then we'll most likely have to implement a draft. Because let's get into one of the other parts. Because apparently, according to the recruiters of the military, almost 80% of Americans aged 17 to 24 are unfit for military service. I wonder why. As you're listening right now, and you're wondering why, if you're on the Rumble or the YouTube section, please put down why you think 80% of kids between the ages of 17 and 24 are unfit for the military. And then once I've read the answer, please go back in and then say if you were right or if you were wrong. Because when I first saw this, I went, oh, this has to be a mental thing. This has to be a mental thing. 80% of Americans age 17 to 24 are unfit for military service because they're just a bunch of twats now. Have you looked at the kids from the ages 17 to 24 lately? The majority of them are twats. That's the best word I can use without using other words. They're whiny, sensitive. I'm going to throw some other videos in here to show what I'm talking about as to just how crazy the kids are becoming right now. And damn it, I'm 35 years old. If you're 24, you're still a kid, so don't say anything rude. I was 24 and a kid. I still say to this day, I don't think I was ever actually an adult until I hit 30, maybe 1, 32. I still had too much kid in me. But let's find out. Why is 80% not worthy of joining the military? So this article wrote by Epoch Times, wrote by Autumn Spreaderman. That is an interesting name, Autumn Spreaderman. Anyways, it's no secret that the United States military is struggling to find people who are fit for service these days. Maintaining health and wellness among its existing members has almost become a challenge. I don't understand that. When I was in the Marine Corps anyways, I can only relate to me. If you have other stories, please put it in there. I'd love to read them. But when I was in my Marine Corps, man, we were all a bunch of jocks. We were all taking roids. We were fitness fanatics for the most part. You had a few outliers. But even those guys could pass a 3-mile run in under 25 minutes. So not in bad shape, obviously. But, you know, I don't know when we became so lazy in the military. But I know, like, the forced ruck marches for 20 miles. Surprise! That's what you're doing for PT this week, gents. Or, surprise, we're going to go on a lovely 10-mile run with the lieutenant, who can run like a damn gazelle. And a lot of us returning vets, you're all beaten and broken up. My ankle was all tore up. And I was able at least to convince my officer, my lieutenant, that the guys needed to focus on weightlifting and not so much running. You have to run. You need to be in cardiovascular shape. If you've ever been in combat, or in a combat unit, or combatives in general, or in law enforcement, hell, especially if you're a firefighter, you have to have good cardiovascular shape because you carry a lot of weight on top of your torso, and that's going to squeeze the lungs and the diaphragm. You're not going to be able to get full breaths of air, and that's going to be hard for the heart to move blood around, and it's hard to breathe, and, I mean, you know, that's when you can go into other type of medical issues by not being in good shape and wearing all this crap. But I was able to convince my officers that we needed to focus on weightlifting because of the amount of time that we had to carry so much heavy gear. I was 350 or 340 pounds, I think, 340 pounds in full gear. So that was plate carrier and not the cool ones that we have now. It was the full-bodied one, and it was an extra-large sappy plates, plus the soft armor, plus 1,000 rounds of 5.56, because I was a SAW gunner my first year in Iraq. And then occasionally I'd carry like a breaching kit or whatever else it is that I had to carry on my back. And then you got guys that are radio operators, and at least back in the day, the radios were, you know, 60, 70 pounds. They were pretty heavy. You know, all this weight with all the gun and a full combat load, 6 to 8 mags or more, the weight ends up dragging you down. And, you know, for the most part on a combat mission, you're just patrolling. You're just walking around looking for a fight, or sometimes hoping you don't have a fight at all and you get to go hang out at the cool Haji's house who, you know, you can watch reruns of Dallas Cowboys and then, you know, smoke a hookah and drink chai tea with them and hopefully just have a good day. But those were few and rare in between. But now with this next group of kids that's going to be coming up in the military, they're most likely not going to be going to Iraq and Afghanistan like we did. They're most likely going to be going to Europe. Most likely Europe or the Pacific. And that's a lot of heat or a lot of cold. One is island hopping warfare in the Pacific. God help my Marines. That is some tough trash to try and fight through. So Chesty Puller be with y'all on that one. And then the other half is trying to fight the urban war in Ukraine. And you know what this reminds me of all of a sudden? World War II, when you had part of the army, or the better half of the army, fighting in Europe and the Marine Corps fighting in the Pacific. I wonder if that'll happen again. Now, you did have some Marine units up in the European warfare theater, and then you did have some Army units that were down in the Pacific as well. But for the most part, the Pacific was Marine Corps and the Europe was Army. If we have to break into this type of warfare again, guys, we're not ready for it. We're not ready for it. And are you ready to lose your child? Are you ready for the draft if it does come? Old Chuck Roy, senator out of Texas, he took a grand stand over the summer, cussing out, I don't know who it was that was standing behind the podium in Congress, saying, "You ain't going to take my daughter with this draft." And he was holding up some sheet, I guess, that he had been reading. You ain't taking my daughter with this draft. You ain't all this stuff that you wrote down on here, guys. You ain't getting my kid. I will say this, if a draft does happen, and I actually just got off the phone with my brother, who he's an OIF, OEF vet. And the conversation we had was, with as screwed up as people are right now, it almost does make sense to tap back into the OIF, OEF vets from Iraq and Afghanistan and recall them. Now, myself, like I'm sure a lot of you out there, a lot of you other vets, you probably can't be recalled because of your disability rating. Or at least that's what we were told, right? That's what we think. But I'm willing to bet that if they had to recall us, they could probably put you in admin, logistics, training. Here, let's get back to reading this. A DoD report cited during a February 16th congressional hearing offered a hard pill to swallow. 77% of Americans between the ages of 17 and 24 are unqualified physically to enter the armed forces. That's a 6% increase from 2017, which has added to the struggle to find new recruits in every branch of the military. One of the major hurdles recruiters now face is, here you go, guys, obesity, which has become a dominant health challenge for Americans. As of 2020, the prevalence of obesity in the adult population hit nearly 42%. You want to see the future of America? Watch a cartoon that my kids love to watch called WALL-E. And all the people there have almost lost complete control of their limbs, and they're just big, bloated cows sitting on a chair, and they just zoom back and forth on this spaceship, going from one buffet to another. The ease of modernity has made us fat and weak. We don't know hardship in this country anymore. There are pockets and populations of people from poor urban centers to the poor rural areas, a few farmers and whatnot, who still understand what struggle and survival is. But for the most part, it's not there. Have you seen any of the videos coming out of Ukraine? People are having to go out to pockets of water, big puddles of water. And they're scooping glasses into that of that water into pans or whatever they can take for their water. So you're getting dirty water, contaminated water from whatever has ordnance has been exploded or asbestos that's in the air. See, that's another thing that a lot of people don't understand. With the amount of buildings that are destroyed and the amount of particulates that's in the air, especially if we're talking depleted uranium rounds. Well, guess what's also now in your water? And you're going to be drinking that stuff? How many of you are ready for that to happen in America right now? Think about it. We weren't ready for Ohio. We weren't ready for Hurricane Katrina, for Rita. We weren't ready for 2008, which, by the way, what are they talking about right now that's coming up online? Another economic collapse. And I've been saying it over and over and over, just like anyone else with common sense, that you could see this collapse coming a mile away. We can't send hundreds of billions of dollars to every nation upon earth and to every Yahoo who says he needs a handout and not replenish it and survive. We emptied the piggy bank. So now we're going to have to rob Peter to pay Paul. Oh, by the way, all you taxpayers, you're Peter. Paul is the one in Congress who still wants all your money, I guess, to send to Ukraine. Do you ever ask yourself, over $110 billion that has been sent to Ukraine, what in the hell did they use it for? I mean, what do you have to show for it? Could you have put a satellite in the sky? I mean, could you have bought some more tanks or whatnot? What did you do? Because the world is feeding Ukraine, and Ukraine's taking all the money. And what are they doing with it? Is this more of the FTX? Is this more of the Hunter Biden-ish kind of stuff that's going on? I would say most likely, right? But here in America, you're too fat. You can't do pull-ups. You can't run. I may be a little bit beat up and a little bit broken, but I bet you right now I could probably get my 3 miles, realistically, right? Realistically, in about 35 minutes. That's not very good. That's not passing Marine Corps standards. But I also got a lot of problems with my knees, my ankles, my right hip, up to my back. And I'm still running and working out, even though it sucks, even though it hurts. I'm still eating healthy because I would like to live a little bit longer. But what happened to the younger generation in America? I'll tell you one of the, I think, two of the worst things. One is video games. Video games have replaced men being in combative sports. Video games have replaced men wanting to get out and challenge themselves. Mano y mano. Alpha male versus alpha male. Bull versus bull. You don't see much of that anymore. There was a point in time when the whole country wanted to do MMA and Brazilian jiu-jitsu and UFC fighting was everywhere. Once again, that's when I was in the military. And then prior to that, it was baseball and football and basketball, which is the ballet of contact sports. Soccer, rugby. I was a rugby player. Also played football. And, I mean, even though we had some big old boys in our group, I guarantee you most of them still had the tenacity to diet down and join the military if they wanted to. I know a few did. But we don't have the want anymore. We don't have the want to stay in shape. Instead, they say, stop fat-shaming people. I will not stop fat shaming people. You're too fat. I'm too fat. You're too fat. If you're listening to me right now and you got a six pack of abs and you could run 3 miles in 20 minutes, you're too fat. You didn't make the 18 minute mile mark. You could always have more improvement. You could get better with drawing from the holster and getting on your sights faster by just practicing. You could get outside and go for a little walk and then turn that walk into a jog and then from the jog into a run. And then every day you do it a little bit more and a little bit more. And every day you run a little further and you're improving your body. Why don't we want to do that? Well, because we're lazy. It is. We're lazy. If I'm hungry, I'll go down to Chick-fil-A or to wherever. Go get me some food. Stop and get me a sugary drink to go with my sugary drink, to go with my sugary meal. That's one of the reasons why I tell people, you don't have to live on a farm to have the farmer's mindset. Try and grow your own food. One of the things that we're about to be getting into, and I'll be making videos on stuff like this. I started making videos on this a couple weeks ago. I just never did load it. I got 150 new chickens in, 150 new chicks, excuse me. And since then, I think we've lost like, I don't know, maybe 20, which is, oh, it's infuriating. Because it was like $700 that I spent on all this. But you're always going to lose chicks. They're extremely fragile. They stomp on top of each other. The moment you move a chick from wherever it's hatched to your home, in between there, it's going to get hot. It's going to get cold. It's going to get tossed around. It's going to get dehydrated. It already has a very extraordinarily fragile immune system. So almost anything looking at it wrong could probably kill it. So anything, you know, jamming it around, everything that you do to a chick can eventually kill it very quickly. Like, it is an extraordinarily precious little thing that has to be handled with kid gloves all the time. But yet they'll run around and poke each other in the eye and try and eat each other as well. A bunch of little velociraptors. But it's easy to raise chickens. Tower gardens, aquaponics, that's one of the things that my wife and I are about to get into. Just because we see everything going on right now, and we had all this stuff for a huge greenhouse. I mean, man, I spent some money on getting the equipment for this greenhouse. And for various different reasons, we decided to hold off on it and hold off on it. And now we're going to end up putting this greenhouse together because it's February and tomorrow is supposed to be 80 in Texas. I don't understand that. For the last 3 or 4 years, this time of year, it would be ice would be falling out of the sky. And now it's going to be 80. This is crazy weather. So because of the weather, we don't expect there's going to be a good harvest. So if there's not a good harvest and the weather is really crazy, then prices on everything are going to go up and things are not going to be in stock. So we are going to be trying to make our own feed. We're going to be trying to make our own food and try to go as strictly from what we can make here at the house as possible. We had rabbits at one point. We're going to go back to that. Big Angola rabbits. And I think it's a New Zealander. It's a gigantic rabbit, the size of a medium-sized dog. We're going to be getting a few of those for the meat. You know, guys, this is the time where, you know, experiment a little bit with your preps. Experiment a little bit with your way of life and how you want to try and improve yourself. Now's the time to try to improve and to fail at it and learn from your mistakes. Not when we're in a war with Ukraine and we look like Ukraine. I'm reading so many bad stories of preppers in Ukraine. who've already ran out of their food. They've already ran out of their water stocks. Their filters need to be changed on their water filtration system. So guess what they don't have? The companies to send the water filters to. Or anyone to deliver the mail. And it's tragic to hear about this. But use it as a training scenario for yourself. If we were put in this situation, what would we do? You know, these filters for the water filters, they can just sit in their boxes. You know, whatever money you get back on taxes, you know, don't spend it on the next jet ski or motorcycle. You may want to stock up on your preps. Food for thought until you have no food. Or if you're like, apparently 80% of Americans between age 17 and 24, and they eat most of the food. I still can't get over this. It's a dangerous dilemma. Dangerous dilemma. Oh, and by the way, do you know what they are blaming this on? Let me read this real quick before we go to the next segment. Top seven subsidized foods covered under SNAP, food stamps, have been associated with cardiometabolic risk factors, such as obesity, since 2009. Holy crap. Subsidized crops are turned into highly processed foods with little to no nutritional benefit. And most of that is what you can get with SNAP. Ultra-processed foods directly contribute to obesity, according to a 2022 health report. The analysis states that the consumption of ultra-processed foods is likely much higher among those participating in SNAP. So, people are on subsidized living, and they have to have the federal handouts in order to be able to buy food. And then the federal handout says the only food that you can buy is the most unhealthiest shit that you can eat. It does not cost that much to start a garden and to keep it going year round. It does not cost that much to have chickens and rabbits. Cooney pigs, that's one thing that I'm trying to get a piece of the land ready for, is to bring on Cooney pigs. And we're getting some meat goats back. So all cool, fantastic stuff. But, you know, for every little mouth I have to feed, I have to consider my little mouths, my kids, that I have to feed. So you have to create a very significant system here. So whenever the kids eat food and the food that they don't completely eat, then it goes to chickens, pigs, goats. And then you have, you know, feed that has to go here. You have supplements that you have to buy. You need to really consider these things if you're going to get into this route. But they're considering this a dangerous dilemma, my Lord. Obesity is a security threat. Each year, more than 60 million goes towards replacing the 1,200 plus first term enlistees discharged for excess weight. Discharged for excess weight. I never saw anybody get discharged from the military because they were overweight. You know why? Because you got three meals a day from the chow hall, or you went and bought meals, and you never made enough money to go out and continuously eat pizza every day. Oh, and by the way, you were going to run till your boots fall apart. And you're going to live out in the field, and you're going to eat MREs. And, I mean, there was height and weight standards. You had to get taped. You had to have uniform standards. if the officers come by or your staff NCOs come by and say, suck in that gut and it doesn't get sucked in, show up at the blockhouse Saturday, 8 o'clock. You're going with the Fat Kid Club and you're going to go for a run. Every weekend, every day, until you lose weight. And it's not to pick on people. In the military, it's you have to be at least at the par standard for your physical capabilities. But for all you civvies who listen to me, hey, man, we're talking about the longevity of your heart. We're talking about the longevity of your life. It would behoove you to get in shape, wouldn't it? To live a little longer? Put down the Oreos. Because that's what I eat the most, are Oreos. A lot of times when I tell you to do something, it's because it's me that I'm really saying it to. All right. Next article. There's a problem in the upper reaches of our military. I would have to agree, starting with General Mark Milley, Joint Chiefs of Staff's chairman. Oh, my Lord. It is the beginning of a never-ending bad dream. Joe Biden and the Pentagon have managed to birth a new terrorist haven, destroy much of the U.S. strategic deterrence, and alienate our allies and much of the country. In the hours after the horrific deaths of 13 service members, we have been reassured by our military that our partnership with the Taliban to provide security for our flights was wise. We were told that the terrorist victors share similar goals of ours in a hasty American retreat from Kabul. We were reminded that Afghan refugees, unlike U.S. soldiers, will not be forced to be vaccinated on arrival. Such statements are either untrue or absurd. On the very day of the attack that killed the American troops in Afghanistan, the Sergeant Major of the U.S. Army reminded us in a tweet that diversity is our strength, commemorating not the dead, but Women's Equality Day. If so, then it is the opposite of diversity, unity, or weakness. Will such wokeness ensure that we do not abandon Bagram Air Base in the middle of the night without opposition? The Chief of Staff at the Office of Naval Intelligence, ONI, warned that ONI's active duty and retired service members, that they must not criticize Biden, their commander-in-chief, over the Afghan fiasco. The office correctly cited prohibitions found in the Uniform Code of Military Justice barring any disrespect shown to senior government leadership. Well, I'm not bound by any of that. Indeed, a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Marine Corps was relieved of his command for posting a video accurately blaming military and civilian leadership for the Afghanistan nightmare. Yet until January 20th, retired top brass had constantly smeared their elected commander-in-chief with impunity. Yep. So all of this doublespeak that we see going on, now they're saying, you don't dare talk about us, though we can talk about you. Recently, retired General Michael Hayden retweeted a horrific suggestion that unvaccinated Trump supporters should be put on planes back to Afghanistan, where they presumably would be left to die. Hayden earlier had compared Trump's border facilities to Nazi death camps. Nazi death camps. The last border facility that I was at, where we were delivering all these people to, There were Border Patrol agents. This one lady, she was a captain. She was going and getting diapers, formula, and baby clothes with her money and changing diapers, along with probably 20, 30 other agents there. Rocking kids, reading to them, trying to entertain them, while we dealt with the damn adults who you'd think would be gracious for coming over here. Most of them just didn't want to talk to you, but you had this like 20% who were absolute idiots while in our custody that we got to deal with. But no, Nazi death camps. Says so a guy who never served on the border, never was a cop, has no idea what that job is like, has no idea what being on the border was like, but he'll say, oh, yeah, it's like Nazi death camps. Come on, man. Let me drag your ass to El Paso and show you the way things really look. It was horrible for those people. It was horrible for us. But we did our best as human beings and as Americans to take care of those people. Other retired high-profile military officials, variously called their president an emulator of Nazi tactics, a veritable Mussolini, a liar, and deserving of removal from office sooner than later. None of these retired four stars face the sort of repercussions that the Office of Naval Intelligence just warned about. Of course not. Of course not. And let me warn you all, when civil war breaks out in this country, remember these people and what they've said, because you'll know which side they line up on. It won't be the American first side. It won't be for the ones who have the old red, white, and blue up on their wall. There's your traitors. Right there. And it's not because they're against Trump. They're not against Trump. They're against you. More than 50 former intelligence officials on the eve of November election signed a letter suggesting that incriminating emails found on Hunter Biden's missing laptop might be a Russian disinformation. They used their stature for political purposes to convince the American people that the story was a lie. Propaganda works, doesn't it? Psychological warfare works, doesn't it? They have been using it against us to turn ourselves against ourselves for as long as they could manipulate us. And now Americans have access to the internet and to Twitter and to all these other social media websites. And we're all talking and we're all doing our own investigations now. You don't have to trust just what Tucker Carlson says. Vet him out. Try and find if the man's lying or not. But you can do that research and you can find out. You can change your own mind with this type of factual evidence that you could find. If it's out there, if it hadn't been scrubbed. But instead, you have military officials and intelligence officers who are going to go on this national campaign saying that Orange Man bad, because MAGA bad. Why is this pertinent? Because we're coming back into the election cycle soon, and holy hell madness is going to break out in this country again. Again, it will break out. Be ready for it, because these people are ready for it. They have had a year or two of trying to decide all the evil things they can say about Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis and everybody else that's out there. Retired General Joseph Dunford and retired Admiral Mike Mullen recently blasted retired brass who had questioned Biden's cognitive ability. Okay, but they should have issued a similar warning earlier when the violations of fellow retired officers were even more egregious in the year 2020 during the election cycle. General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, apologized for doing a photo op with Trump, erroneously buying into the narrative that Trump had ordered rioters cleared from Lafayette Square for the staged picture. And worse, he leaked to journalists, Mark Milley leaked to journalists that he was so angry with Trump that he considered resigning. Well, why didn't you, fat boy? Mark Milley, I don't think you could pass your PT test right now. Change my mind. We have traitors in our midst. We have a problem somewhere at the top higher echelons of our military. Let me get serious here for a second. And I actually had a really good question that was sent to me. And they said, Doug, if civil war broke out, could we trust the higher echelons of the military and then on down to do the right thing for the American people? And I had to give this quite a bit of thought. And the honest answer is, I don't know. I don't know. We are so willing to kill each other over sports teams, over political figures, or misgendering somebody, heaven forbid. Oh, by the way, there's only boys and girls, in case you didn't know that. I think we are this close to civil war in this country. Hopefully, if that ever happens, our military will do the right thing for the American people. That's all I can hope for. If you have any other suggestions or ideas, leave it in the comment section. As military ranks are purged, the United States is unprepared for war. The U.S. proxy war with Russia over Ukraine is on the verge of getting costlier, maybe in more ways than one. Since the start of Russia's invasion this past February, Washington has appropriated tens of billions of dollars to aid to Kiev, mostly for military training, advanced ordnance, and intelligence assets supporting Ukrainian operations. The spigots are far from closing. President Biden has asked Congress for another $800 million. For everyone who's recently lost their homes because of foreclosures, because you lost your job, because of a family issue and you had to spend money elsewhere, or because you lived in Ohio recently and now you're probably going to be forced to move, wouldn't you like a little slice of that $800 million? It's not that I have such a problem sending money to aid the people of Kiev. The problem is that it's not aiding the people in Kiev. It's going to these people in the Ukrainian government who are buying exotic cars and mansions. What, all but one of Zelensky's staff so far has had to resign? And if I'm correct, it's all because of this problem, getting money that wasn't going to people it was supposed to. President Biden has asked Congress for another $800 million, this time for advanced surface-to-air missiles. On top of this, Washington has moved 100,000 troops to defend NATO's eastern frontier, and Congress wants to send more over there. 100,000, that's quite a lot of people, and then they want to send more. Why? Is this posturing? It's a lot of money to spend for posturing. Or is it because they're getting ready for war? What do you think Russia thinks right now? Western arms, and not just Ukrainians, resolve, have cost the Russians dearly in casualties and prestige, and every new military delivery risks a reprisal. By upping the ante, the Biden administration and its supporters are gambling that Russia is either too weak or too wary to fight back against the West. They may be right. Moscow certainly realizes any kinetic strike against a NATO target would escalate quickly beyond its ability to manage a conventional defense. Moreover, the Russians don't need to win the war in Ukraine outright. So long as they have the will and resources paid for by the West's continued dependency on its energy, the war could rage for years before fizzling out in a treaty, as many wars do. There's even a chance NATO could get cold feet if Russia chokes off Europe's gas supply this autumn, ending the war sooner. Moscow cannot afford to lose the war. By capitulating, Russia would be forced to accept what it feared all along, the loss of Ukraine to NATO and the European Union. Losing the war also would place them between a rock and a hard place, a choice on one hand of accepting Western terms to end sanctions or, on the other, possibly becoming China's vassal. Right or wrong, the Russians are playing for high stakes, and we Americans are militarily immensely unprepared for them to call our bet. Do you agree with that statement? Do you think the American people are militarily and mentally unprepared to be at war with Russia? I'm going to go ahead and disagree and say yes. I think we're spiritually unprepared more than just mentally. I don't know, guys. I say it all the time. I'm sure it gets annoying, but everything changes the day you can't turn that light switch on. The moment the power goes out, all this is over. Your preps are over. Well, San Francisco, at least, is considering paying residents $5 million each for reparations. So there's some good news. The government-appointed panel responsible for determining the amount of reparations San Francisco should provide to its black residents did not rely on a mathematical formula. Rather, the panel's 15 members spent the last year and a half studying the city's history to develop a proposal. One idea being debated is to provide $5 million to each eligible black resident. The report by the San Francisco Human Rights Commission Reparations Advisory, boy, that's a mouthful, is a comprehensive document that provides a detailed analysis of the history of discrimination against black residents in San Francisco. The committee studied various forms of discrimination, such as discriminatory housing policies, police brutality, and unequal access to education and unemployment opportunities. The report also identified several proposals for reparations that aim to address the historical harm suffered by Black residents. One of the most significant proposals is to provide $5 million to eligible Black residents. Look, this is a pipe dream. This will never happen. They'll never do this. No matter what they say, no matter what it is that they propose, there has never been reparations given to Black people in America. Not to a $5 million extent, and there never will be. And I get it. It's sad. But these people are focused on making money, not giving it away. Just remember that. Every time they tell you that they're going to give you money, there's a stipulation attached to it. You may not want that money. All right. Lastly, Janet Yellen claims that United States taxpayers have a duty to defend Ukraine's border from invasions. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen on Monday claimed American taxpayers have a moral duty to defend Ukraine's eastern border from invasion by giving aid to the nation. Well, my opinion is no, we don't. And Janet Yellen has no business being in Ukraine, dealing with Ukraine, giving Ukraine more money, when you have American families who don't have the ability to put food on the table, paying for rent or a mortgage, being able to pay for a car note, your phone bills. My Lord, has anyone else had a phone bill that was under $100 lately, for, you know, like the full plan? I'm on Verizon. They steal money from us all the time. But our phone plans are ridiculously high. The internet here, because I have to have a satellite, is $140 a month. Then you got to buy food and you got to buy clothes and all the other little stuff that you got to do in between. I mean, the average household needs about $5,000 to $6,000 coming in a month to pay for their, from what I was looking at the other day, on average, $2,500 to $4,000 a month in bills. But yet we'll give all of our money, even though you're hurting, to another country. Multiple other countries. There's like 50 countries that are getting our money, to include China. China gets our money. Anyways, guys, that's all I got. Thanks for listening. Hope you have a good day, and I'll see you next time. Stay frosty.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.